Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another edition of WKAR's Current Sports on this Monday fun day. It is April 23, 2018. Really hope you all had a great weekend here in mid-Michigan. Was it a lovely one or what? I don't think we've had weather like that back-to-back days on the weekend in quite some time, with temperatures above the 50s. The sun was out. The birds were chirping. The sky was blue yesterday. And today is even better. We're going to be knocking on the door of 70 degrees here in East Lansing, Michigan. How about that? So, as you're listening to WKAR's Current Sports, make sure you do so while enjoying the BEA beautiful weather that we are currently experiencing to kick off the final week in the month of April for 2018. We've got a great show, as we customarily do. Coming right at your ear on today's Current Sports, we will recap the weekend that was in the local sporting world and beyond. You guys know customarily each and every Monday's Current Sports is a toughie because we do our best in the span of 60 minutes to recap everything that took place in the world of sports of importance, I should say. I will talk about the latest update as it concerns a former Michigan linebacker who threatened college basketball coach Jim Harbaugh. There's some updates and some interesting updates to that story that I want to pass along. And I got a few points I want to make concerning the college athlete and recruiting. Don't miss that conversation. Also, we will discuss where Michigan State men's basketball ranks in its 2018 recruiting class. Speaking of recruiting, right? So we'll put that in perspective. That will be brought to you in our Current Sports quick hit headliners, and I will have further takeaways in brief dialogue to wrap up segment A. Then segment B will kick off discussing the NBA playoffs, a weekend recap. A lot to get to when it comes to the NBA playoffs. A lot of interesting storylines, no matter which conference you're talking about, no matter which teams you are talking about. There are storylines everywhere and a few surprising ones. I, for one, and I'm sticking to my guns and reiterating what I've noted throughout the NBA season this year. I am not a big believer that the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James can get back to the NBA Finals for yet another season this year, because I just don't believe in this team. Now, I do believe, though, that what happened last night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indiana. Indiana had the Cavs on the ropes, let their foot off the gas, and now we look at a tie series as the series now shifts back to Cleveland. I think that was Indiana's opportunity to really stomp on the throat of the Cavaliers and move on, and have the best chance to move on, I should say, in the NBA playoffs. The opportunity was right there for the Pacers. That opportunity is now gone. I just don't see the Cavaliers losing that series now. However, with the way they're playing and the way they are struggling against Indiana, I don't see the Cavs making it to the NBA Finals. So we'll have, look at me, I'm already getting into the conversation right now. But we'll talk NBA playoffs in segment B. Also, we will have weekend winners for you. And I have one athlete in particular that I'm going to call out and criticize for what might be the most ignorant and classless post-fight press conference, or I should say interview, that I have ever seen in my life. You guys know I'm a big boxing fan, and I actually checked out the Vargas and Broner, Adrian Broner fight on Saturday night on Showtime. And what I heard come out the mouth of Adrian Broner when that fight was said and done, it was a draw. But when that fight was said and done, and when Jim Lampley tried his best to interview Adrian Broner, utter disgust. Utter disgust. I thought I disliked Floyd Mayweather Jr. as an athlete. Adrian Broner has just taken that baton. So, you don't want to miss that. And so much more. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at Facebook.com/currentsports. Well, Facebook.com/WKAR News, I should say. Our current sports page also shares the live stream. You can comment below that video. And you can also weigh in on Twitter. At Al Martin, WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with the Michigan State women's golf team for the second straight season. The MSU women's golf team is champions of the Big Ten. How about that? The Spartans shot a 2 over par 290 in Sunday's final round to finish the tournament at 5 under par 859, the second lowest 54-hole winning score in conference championship history. So they carved an 859 over scores of 283, 286, and 290. Number 12, Michigan State, overcame a one-shot deficit heading into Sunday's final round at TPC Rivers Bend in Ohio, overtaking Maryland and then holding off hard-charging Illinois and Northwestern in a drama-filled afternoon. The title is the Spartans' fifth in the last eight seasons and seventh under Stacy Slobotnik-Stoll, head coach of the team. The Spartans' final three players on the course, Sarah Burnham, Allison Gear, and Katie Sharp, were able to ice the title for the Spartans as they combined for five birdies over the last two holes. What an accomplishment for the MSU women's golf team. Fantastic stuff. All right, Michigan State baseball battled back and forth with Northwestern on Sunday before getting a two-run homer from Zach McGuire in the eighth inning to take the lead for good, while Jake Lowry and Riley McCauley shut down the Wildcats' bats in a thrilling 6-5 victory for MSU at Northwestern's Miller Park. The win was the Spartans' sixth straight Big Ten Conference win as they swept their second conference series in a row. It was also MSU's sixth straight series win over Northwestern, with the Spartans now having beaten the Wildcats in 14 of the last 17 meetings, improving to 96-49-1. All time in the series. When it comes to Michigan State softball, MSU suffered a heartbreaking 6-5 walk-off loss in the finale of a three-game Big Ten series at Ohio State. The Buckeyes, sitting at 28-11, 10-6 in Big Ten action, got the winner when Shelby McCombs led it off with a double to left center, and she moved to third as Emily Clark flew out to right for the first out of the inning. The throw into the infield went off the mark, allowing McCombs to scoot home ahead of the throw with the winning run. The Spartans suffered their fourth walk-off loss of the season and seventh game overall in 2018 that ended in a walk-off. MSU has a six-game homestand over 8 days that begins tomorrow with a game against in-state rival Eastern Michigan University. Megan Bobian's Michigan softball debut could not have gone much better on Friday. The freshman pitched a six-inning no-hitter for the University of Michigan softball team and allowed just two base runners in the Wolverines' 8-0 win over Georgia State. Michigan opened the season Friday morning with a 7-0 victory over the University of Alabama at Birmingham at the University of South Florida Wilson-DeMari tournament in Tampa, Florida. But it was Bobian, who had the performance of the day in the team's second game of its doubleheader. The left-handed pitcher from Monroe St. Mary Catholic High School struck out 11 Panthers while walking one. She also hit a batter. Michigan's offense gave Bobian and game one pitcher Tara Blanco plenty of run support. The 18th-ranked Wolverines combined for 19 hits, including four by leadoff hitter Faith Canfield. Two were home runs. The team resumes the three-day tournament. They resume the three-day tournament on Saturday, and they played Florida as well as South Florida over the weekend. All right, with the three major recruiting services, 247sports.com, Rivals, and ESPN, all releasing their final rankings for the 2018 basketball class, we've now got a better idea of where Michigan State fits on the national scene. In 247 Sports' final composite rankings, which combines all of the major national sites, the Spartans five-player class of Marcus Bingham Jr., Aaron Henry, Gabe Brown, Foster Lawyer, and Thomas Kithier comes in at number 14 nationally. That number would probably be higher if not for 247 Sports' own list, which has the Spartans 22nd, with much lower rankings for Bowen, Lawyer, and Kithier compared to the other two. Michigan State is 11th on Rivals.com and 12th on ESPN's list. The five Hoopsters are ranked four-star players on all three sites, and Bingham is the Spartans' highest-rated recruit on all three sites. We'll have more on that in just a moment. Former Michigan football player Elsie Mbembose posted a message on Twitter yesterday explaining his side of the story over the threatening social media messages that tagged head coach Jim Harbaugh. But he also wrote that the situation, which has been under investigation by the University of Michigan police, quote, has been very hard on me mentally, physically, and emotionally. I will have more on this story because also this morning, actually, we saw Mbembose also post on his Twitter page some audio recordings that just kind of put in perspective what he's been going through, according to him. So we'll get to that in just a moment. You don't want to miss that chat. When it comes to the Detroit Tigers, they had a chance to reach 500 but fell to 9-11 on the year with an 8-5 loss to the Kansas City Royals yesterday afternoon. Lefty Francisco Liriano's no-hit bid ended in the sixth inning on a solo home run to left by Whit Merrifield, which cut the Tigers' lead to 2-1. Then came a bullpen meltdown. Not a great weekend for the Detroit Tigers bullpen. Alex Wilson replaced Liriano with runners on the corners and one out in the sixth. Wilson gave up a walk to Paulo Orlando, then a 425-foot grand slam to right center to Abraham Almonte. The Tigers scored three runs in the sixth to tie the game at five. Nicholas Castellanos and Jacoby Jones hit RBI singles, and James McCann hit a sack fly to right. Buck Farmer came on with 2-1 and one out after Drew Verhagen walked a pair of batters in the seventh. Farmer then gave up a three-run homer to Mike Moustakas, who extended his hitting streak to 14 games. Up next for the Tigers will now take on the Pirates. That will be a 7:05 p.m. first pitch. When it comes to the NBA and NHL playoffs, we'll start with the NBA. Yesterday, we saw Boston top Milwaukee. Milwaukee top Boston. That was a 104-102 final. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 27 points. Also, Golden State at San Antonio. San Antonio pulled out a 103-90 win over the Warriors to keep things alive there. That would have been a sweep for the Warriors if they would have won that game. But San Antonio goes down fighting. Manu Ginobili was fantastic in that game. I have more on him in just a second. Also, we saw the Washington Wizards top the Toronto Raptors 106-98. Bradley Beal had 31 points in that one. And the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Indiana Pacers 104-100. LeBron James poured in 32 points. Tonight on TNT, both of these games on TNT, you can catch the Houston Rockets at the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Utah Jazz. Houston and Minnesota will tip off at 8 p.m. and OKC in Utah, that will be a 10:30 p.m. tip time. When it comes to the NHL playoffs, yesterday we saw the Pittsburgh Penguins top the Philadelphia Flyers 8-5. Penguins won that one 4-2 in game, a six-game series. They will move on now. And also the Nashville Predators topped the Colorado Avalanche in a 5-0 final in game six. Predators win 4-2. Tonight, you can catch Boston at Toronto. The Bruins lead 3-2. That will be a 7 p.m. puck drop in Washington. At Columbus, the Caps lead that one 3-2. That will be a 7:30 p.m. puck drop. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Also go to Facebook.com/WKAR News to weigh in that way below the live stream and tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Little Wu-Tang to start your Monday afternoon. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I really hope you all had a great weekend out there. Finally, the state of Michigan is giving us some leeway when it comes to this weather. Finally, Michigan is being kind. It's beautiful outside. Absolutely beautiful. You know, it's times like this. This is the time of the year that I really wish Studio S had, like, windows plastered around it, so I could just look outside and watch the beauty that is outdoors right now. You know, as I was driving into campus today, Michigan State is such a beautiful campus. And it's really hard to say that during the winter months, you know, when it's cold and snowy and gloomy and there's an overcast all the time. But I tell you what, when the spring finally becomes spring, here in East Lansing, Michigan, walking this campus makes you see why this campus is so revered among those outside of it and those who attend this university at the same time, right? Because you walk into campus and it's so active. So many students were outside as I drove in, walking to class, you know, with the headphones on, enjoying the weather. I saw a huge group actually near campus, near Hubbard Hall, around Acres Hall, outside playing a full court basketball game. Love that. I saw a group of students outside reading with the shades on. Love it. It just puts you in a good mood. And I'm certainly in a great mood here as we kick off a Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Before pushing forward, I want to give a big shout out to my colleagues here at WKAR because I saw over the weekend that WKAR News took home 7 Michigan Associated Press Awards, including first place for continuing coverage, the Nassar Files, digital presence, and documentary and feature. How about that? A big shout out to Kevin Lavery, Jamie Paisley, Reginald Hardwick, who represented WKAR at the awards over the weekend. Second place for outstanding news operation, feature, and documentary. Also, a big shout out to our listeners, because without you guys, we can't do what we do here. But big shout out to the station. 7 Michigan AP awards over the weekend. Job well done, right? Job well done. Again, we can't do what we do without you. All right, first story I want to get to today is one that we have been following since, I believe, what, last week? Last week is when this story really popped off, and it is disturbing on a few levels, but also, I believe, enlightening when it comes to the world of recruiting. I'll explain in just a moment, but for those of you who have been living under a rock and don't know what in the world I'm talking about, well, I noted it in our current sports quick hit headliners just a moment ago. Former Michigan linebacker Alisi Mbembose. Again, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but that's my best shot. He took full responsibility for a series of tweets he posted last week in which he tagged head coach Jim Harbaugh of the University of Michigan football team after posting about Michigan being open carry and someone being a, quote, bleeping clown. In a series of tweets posted over the weekend and also this morning, and just give me a head nod if we do have these bites, Ian. We do. Okay, we do have these bites. I want to play these bites because this morning, Alisi Mbembose also posted a series of audio clips that even dig further into describing why he is unhappy with the University of Michigan. But Mbembose, he writes that he was kicked off the football team with no explanation and that he's having now issues with the university police department, which opened an investigation looking into his tweets as potential threats. This is what Alisi Mbembose posted on his Twitter profile yesterday morning at 10:14 a.m. This is what he had to say, quote, "In the midst of everything going on in this country, the situation has been very hard on me mentally, physically, and emotionally. In November, I was kicked off the team at Michigan with no explanation why, with no timetable for return. With a family depending on me and the game I love being taken away, I constantly made efforts to get in contact with the university to talk about my role with the program. After numerous efforts, I was given multiple people to contact, and nobody returned my calls. I take full responsibility for the tweets I made regarding the safety of Coach Harbaugh, which I apologize fully for, but being harassed by the university police and being told I'm mentally ill without proper evaluation is against my civil rights. At the end of the day, I want to play football." Again, that is what former Michigan linebacker Alisi Mbembose, that's what he tweeted out yesterday morning, apologizing and taking responsibility for the tweets that he issued to Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan college football program last week. And again, they were direct threats. We profiled those tweets last week here on Current Sports. Now, according to the Detroit News, the investigation is ongoing. Though the police admitted there has been no crime committed at this stage. So Michigan told other news outlets last week that Mbembose left the program in November. Mbembose contends that he was suspended and that he hasn't received any clarification regarding his removal. Either way, his financial aid was canceled ahead of the spring semester. I want to play a trio of audio recordings that were also posted to the Twitter page of Mbembose dating back to Saturday morning and this morning. The first one is a 40-second clip and captures what appears to be a Michigan employee kicking Mbembose out of Shembeckler Hall, which is the Michigan Wolverines Football Performance Center, telling him that he's basically trespassing and that he is not allowed in Schembechler Hall. Here is that audio recording.
You're trespassing at
Schembechler
Hall.
You're trespassing at Schembechler Hall.
Am I not a student athlete at the university?
You are not allowed in Schembechler Hall.
Didn't Schembechler Hall pay my, for my student university for this semester? So why am I not being able to go to Schembechler Hall?
You're not allowed.
Thank you very much.
Don't talk to me.
I know the law. Trust me, I'm a very smart guy. I know the law. I have attorneys that are ready for people. Man, stop talking to me. You crazy, please.
Again, that is what Alise Mbembose posted on his Twitter page. This was on Saturday, in which he profiled what is alleged to be a moment between him and someone working at the Football Performance Center, Schembechler Hall, saying that you're trespassing, you are not allowed here in Schembechler Hall. You heard the exchange between Mbembose and whoever this other individual is. Mbembose saying, I'm a smart guy, I know my rights, so on and so forth. Here is the second bite. The second clip is 24 seconds. And, you know, in this clip, he questions a medical professional about why they are trying to get him to sign a form as a minor when he's a legal adult. This is what this clip sounds like.
I haven't called my family. Why haven't seen a doctor since I came in here the first day? Yes. And don't forget, they're trying to make me sign something that will give them permission and that will allow for me to be seen as a person underage. They're trying to make me sign a minor form. And I'm looking at this. I'm not a minor, so why would I be trying to sign a minor form? They think they're trying to manipulate my hand.
Okay.
Right.
Again, a clip that was posted to Alise Mbembose's Twitter profile in which he says that a medical professional is getting him to try to sign a form as a minor when he is a legal adult. And the third audio clip that was posted to Mbembose's Twitter page, actually what was posted to his page this morning, a little after 9 a.m., 9.02 a.m. to be exact, is just under a minute, and it really seems to document a conversation between Mbembose and a member of the University of Michigan Police Force was in the process of questioning him about last week's tweets.
You, yesterday when we discussed, how did you know that two ladies had approached me then if you hadn't spoke with Harbaugh? How did you know that?
Because we document that.
You?
Yeah.
Who documents what?
It's everything we do is in reports.
So can I see? Okay.
I don't have a
can we get the lady that submitted that report or whatever it is?
She's not here right now.
She's not here right now.
Yeah, but I know, you know, I'm thinking that's what one of the tweets was about. That's how I deciphered that.
I mean, I was fearful for my life. I'm not going to school because of them.
Right.
So if anything, well, I'm having an NCAA problem, and I'm having a use of the university problem, and I'm having a civil rights problem, all in together. Right, but I want to show you how I sent a letter to these people. People just think I'm a game and I'm a joke, and it's really sad.
Again, Alise Mbembose. That is the third audio file that he posted to his Twitter profile, which seems to be a conversation between himself and a member of the University of Michigan Police Force who was questioning him about last week's tweets. This is a lot of drama, as you can see. And basically, and Mbembose, he came forward and he took responsibility for those tweets. They were very disturbing tweets. And he was angry about, and he is angry about, his relationship with the University of Michigan, specifically the University of Michigan college football program. He feels as though he has been mistreated. Now, as I just noted, the investigation is still ongoing, and we all knew that an investigation was going to take place. I mean, anytime you are threatening anyone on campus, let alone Jim Harbaugh, who is arguably the most popular figure in Ann Arbor, he is the head coach of the coveted University of Michigan college football program, anytime you are directing threats toward an individual, especially an individual like Harbaugh, you better believe an investigation is going to take place without a doubt. You just can't pop off on social media and vent your anger and threaten people on social media and expect that there is going to be no repercussion for it. So that investigation is still ongoing. And again, no crime has been found to have been committed at this point. That is according to the Detroit News. We don't know the specifics of what happened in this whole process concerning Mbembose, but I do want to make a point as it pertains to recruiting after we hit our first break. If you got any thoughts on this story, call in. I wanted to lay all of what we know right now on the table. And we don't know a lot, all right? But I do want to make a point when it comes to the world of recruiting in just a moment. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. If you want to weigh in on this, Ray, I know you're on line one. We'll get to you. A few comments coming in via Facebook.com/WKAR News. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Monday, fun day, April 23rd, 2018. Hope you guys are enjoying the weather out there. Before I took that first break, I kind of laid everything out on the table when it comes to this whole drama-filled situation in relation to a former Michigan linebacker by the name of Elise Mbembose, who apologized over the weekend on Twitter and has taken full responsibility for a series of tweets that he posted last week in which he tagged head coach Jim Harbaugh after posting about Michigan being open carry and somebody being a bleeping clown. It was a lot. It was a lot. And he obviously is upset with the way he believes he has been treated by the university and the Michigan college football program. He is not happy. And again, the investigation is still ongoing. Right now, no wrongdoing is said to have happened on behalf of Mbembose. But I laid out three audio clips that he did post to his Twitter profile. The first clip was one in which a Michigan employee basically kicked him out of Schembechler Hall, which is the Wolverines Performance Center, saying that he is trespassing and he is not allowed at Schembechler Hall. The second clip was a conversation between himself and a medical professional about, you know, and he's saying that they're trying to get me to sign a form as a minor when I am a legal adult here in America. And the third clip seems to be a conversation between himself and the University of Michigan police force, who was in the process of questioning him about last week's tweets. Before I give you my thoughts, I just want to get the initial reaction. We haven't heard from this brother all hour. The man behind the glass, engineer Ian Hawley of WKAR's Current Sports, laying out this story. Ian, just want to get your initial reaction. Again, we don't know the facts here. What we do know is very limited here. However, Mbembose is upset, and he is alleging some wrongdoing here. Just your reaction to it right now.
At first, when I saw the tweets by themselves, I thought, you know, Mbembose had kind of gone off the rails as far as his sanity and his questioning of his coach in such a public forum. But after hearing these sound bites today and hearing the things that he's now alleging against the University of Michigan, he's kind of got some points if these things are true. I don't necessarily agree with the way he's gone about stating his case.
Well, no. I mean, anytime you're threatening, you know, the head coach, basically saying you're going to shoot him.
Yeah, that's understating it on my part.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
so to say the least, I disagree with his methods, but he might actually have some valid points here if the things that he alleges that Michigan has done to him are true.
If they are true. Going to get my thoughts in just a moment. I want to go to line one right now. We do have, I'm curious to get this brother's thoughts. Please keep it clean and PG. My man Ray from Indiana is on line one. Ray, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing good, my man. What's your thoughts on this story? You've been listening.
Well, let me tell you something, buddy. What that guy's going through, I went through for 30 years, okay? I know how the hell they are. I ushered down there 18 years, never was later, missed a game. They fired me. They revoked my season tickets. I donated $100 to Schembechler Hall. They told me to stay out of there, that I was trespassing. This guy, I think his name was Kevin Lucas, who was talking to him, a cop, a minute ago. I've got his phone number. He told me once I got out of the trespassing charge, he would help me get my season tickets back. He lied to me. All the police lied to me. You know why? They get paid by the University of Michigan, sir. They're in the hip pocket of the University of Michigan. You try to take on University of Michigan, and what they'll do is they'll hang up on you. They'll stonewall you. They'll treat you because they're arrogant and prideful. They've lost, I don't know, 54 games in 11 years. That's almost five losses a year. They're 2-8 against Michigan State, 1-10 against Ohio State. Just lost a national championship game. It won't be long, Jimmy. You'll be leaving with the rest of that crew down there. Your record ain't any better than Rich Rodriguez and Brady Hoke. So this is your last year, Jimmy. You know you got to play this year. I hope you know you got to play Penn State at home, Wisconsin at home. You got to play Michigan State on the road, Ohio State on the road, Notre Dame on the road. You got to play Wisconsin, Penn State, and Wisconsin and Penn State, and who's the other team they got to play? A tough team.
Don't have the schedule in front of me, Ray, but yeah, go proceed. I hear
you. They're in big trouble, my friend, and they need to humble themselves in a hurry before it's too late.
Ray from Indiana with some very passionate thoughts, as always. Appreciate the call, Ray. And again, I don't want to sit up here and bash the University of Michigan. I'm not going to do that because, again, we don't know the full story. Right now, we just know one side of the story, according to a very salty former University of Michigan linebacker who says that he was kicked off the team for no reason, and some audio recordings that have been played. I think we can all agree that, again, he's come out and fully taken responsibility for his tweets. Because when I first saw this story, I saw a lot of rumors out there basically saying that this player, Alise Mbembose, or now former player for the Wolverines, is saying that his Twitter profile was hacked. That was a rumor. He has taken responsibility for those tweets that he put out last week. One, I do like him taking responsibility, but two, looking at the bigger picture here, my goodness. I mean, to issue threats to Jim Harbaugh, to go that far and threaten a dude with violence, it should never go that far. I don't care how personal this has become for you, how angry you may feel, how low in the totem pole you feel that you were treated. I don't care how far you believe it went. You don't go to as far as threatening another individual saying, basically, I'm going to shoot you. That's basically what he said with those tweets. That is going way too far, and I think that something needs to be done here. Anytime I don't think, you know, and I go back to Izzo's, you know, quote. Tom Izzo, head coach of the MSU men's basketball team, says all time, there are a lot of cowards hiding behind keyboards. I've always said that there needs to be a law in place for those. And I think there is. And I think there's some moving and shaking happening here in the state of Michigan. There needs to be some laws in place to say, basically, you have to be responsible on social media. You can't just tweet out threats. You just can't say anything you want without there being some repercussions out there. Because, you know, the internet has become so immediate. It's become so in our face. It's how most of us get our news now, that you have to act with some kind of responsibility out there. And if you are threatening another human being, that can't fly. So we'll see how it plays out from that standpoint. The other point I want to make when it comes to the world of recruiting, you know, the world of recruiting is one, if there is anything in my profession that I do not like, you guys know I am certainly blessed. I love to say that I'm stealing money every time I get on the airwaves at 1 o'clock to be able to wake up and do what I love, to talk sports to the masses. I am unbelievably blessed to cover touchdowns and slam dunks for a living. I am unbelievably blessed. But if there is one thing that I despise in the world of my profession, it is the world of recruiting. Longtime listeners out there know, who have been tuning into this show since I took the airwaves in April of 2013, know that when it comes to recruiting, I dislike it because you got a lot of these young kids who are 16, 17, even younger now. We're talking about, I've seen some kids being recruited in elementary school. It is ridiculous being treated like they are Jesus Shuttlesworth from He Got Game with Denzel Washington. It makes no sense to me. And then that breeds a sense of entitlement for these individuals and on these recruiting trails, because recruiting is so big. And if you want to win in the world of collegiate sports, you have to crush it in the world of recruiting. That is how big programs in the world of college football, such as in Alabama, like USC, Michigan, that's how they win. And that's how they have established an historic tradition of winning over time. You got to win the recruiting war. But in that process of recruiting, sometimes when that coach walks into your living room to talk to your family, you are sold a bunch of dreams. That's just how it is. They're trying to get you to sign with their team because they see that you have a lot of potential, your ceiling is very high, and you can help aid them in winning championships. But what they don't tell you all the time is that when they walk into the locker room and tell you what you could contribute, is that you have a whole roster to compete against. This is going to be natural selection, survival of the fittest. You are going to have to go out there and earn your spot, despite me telling you that, yeah, you're going to get a lot of playing time. We look to start you. You're going to be a star for our program. That's all a bunch of sunshine and rainbows to intrigue you to get to the program. I'm not saying in every case, but in most cases, they are trying to get you to sign. They are telling you that when you come in, yeah, you're going to have a good chance of starting, but at the end of the day, you got to earn that. Now, that's the coaches. They have to give you that speech. But those around you and yourself, if you have the right people around you, should be telling you that, okay, let's look at the bigger picture here. Is this going to be the right fit for you? There are so many layers to the world of recruiting, and there's a lot of fakeness in the world of recruiting, which is why I can't stand it at times. But when you get your feelings hurt, and when you don't get that roster spot, when you don't get that promised playing time. And again, I want to reiterate, I'm not saying that's exactly what happened in this case concerning Alise Mbembose. But when things don't work out as a player, and when things don't come to fruition as a player, those things in which you said you were promised when that coach came into your living room to talk to you, you can't get sour about it and start throwing a fit. Go out there, work your butt off, and try and get better. It's amazing to me how in 2018, my millennial generation don't know anything about working hard and earning something. Everybody wants to get to the mountaintop at the snap of a finger. You got to earn it. You got to work for it. And it's so amazing. Even in my profession, I have come across countless students who say, Al, I want to be on ESPN right now. And they don't look at the bigger picture. Well, how about you intern here? How about you start in the lower market, learn the profession, and then from there, work your way up, and then maybe you got a shot at that dream. You got to have a plan. You can see the light at the end of that tunnel. That's where you want to be, sure. But are you going to do the things that are the step-by-step plans to lead you to the ultimate dream and plan of making it to where you want to go? It's amazing to me how my generation, any kind of adversity they're hit with, it's just like, oh, woe is me. I hate you. I don't like you. I'm going to find another way. Work through the adversity. And again, I reiterate, I don't know if that's what happened here with Alise Mbembose. But the way he has reacted to dealing with adversity is a microcosm of what we have seen today in today's generation. With my generation, mind you, I am a millennial. I've seen it countless times when it comes to the millennial generation. I've seen it countless times when it comes to the babied athlete. So I just felt like getting that off my chest today, because I've read this story over the weekend, and I've read the tweets, and I've read the responses of the tweets, and I've read those who are taking Alise Mbembose's side, who say that, yeah, he wasn't treating right. I feel you, dude. No, this is not how you respond to adversity. That's just the point I want to make. All right, I'm going to take a sip of my coffee and hit this final break. When we come back, we will talk NBA playoffs. What a weekend it was. What a weekend it was. We'll talk LeBron James and the Cavs evening things now and pushing that series back to Cleveland. Manu Ginobili turning back the clock and saying, Warriors, you're not breaking out the brooms today. Also, how about Ricky Rubio and his triple-double? An amazing weekend. The NBA playoffs have been ridiculously entertaining. I'll put a few things in perspective when it comes to that. And so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. To WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. As we now head into the home stretch of WKAR's Current Sports, the foundation of today's show has been a situation concerning former Michigan linebacker Elise Mbembose, who threatened head coach of the University of Michigan college football team, Jim Harbaugh, in a series of tweets last week. He took full responsibility on his Twitter page over the weekend. And he released three audio files in which he says he's been mistreated. And this whole dramatic situation, we just highlighted that. That has been the primary conversation on today's Current Sports. Your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Shifting gears, I want to talk some NBA playoffs. Wow, has it been entertaining or what? You know, don't get me wrong. I love college basketball. I love March Madness, but I've always gone on record to say that when you talk about the creme de la creme of basketball, it does not get better than the NBA playoffs. Seeing the best players in the world go at it and compete, because we all know in that middle stretch of the NBA year, you see a lot of teams not playing defense, maybe chillaxing a little bit too much, even though I do believe that is getting better as the years go by, especially in the last 5 years. The NBA is certainly getting more and more competitive. But we all know the heat doesn't turn up until the NBA playoffs come around town. And this first round has been intriguing on a lot of different levels. And a few points I want to make. I mean, over the weekend, we saw the New Orleans Pelicans just make it look like slight work against the Portland Trail Blazers. 131 to 123 was the final on Saturday as New Orleans wins that series. 4-0, a sweep. Very surprising stuff. I was texting former Current Sports engineer Isaac Constance over the weekend. Of course, he is going absolutely insane in the membrane right now when watching his Pels. I mean, nobody saw this coming. I feel like there's a reemergence of Rajon Rondo when it comes to the playoffs. I think he is now energized because he's playing with a guy like Anthony Davis, who is arguably the best player on planet Earth right now. With the way he's playing, my goodness, since the absence of DeMarcus Cousins in late January, Anthony Davis, he's led the league in points. He's also led the league in blocks, so he's doing it on both ends of the floor. Absolutely fantastic. What he is doing right now is just freakish. Also, the Philadelphia 76ers leading the series against the Miami Heat. 106-102 is the final in Game 4. Philly now leads that series 3-1. Philly is now my pick. I have to say this because you're looking at the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm not big on the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. With the way they played in this Indiana Pacers series, heck, with the way Cleveland has played throughout this season, throughout the regular season, I've never been big on Cleveland. I feel like I'm not breaking any news in saying that. If you watch Cleveland, supporting cast of LeBron James just is very inexperienced. They're not that great. And with the way they're struggling against the Indiana Pacers, I mean, just imagine if and when we see a 76ers and Cleveland Cavaliers matchup. I love this. I would choose the 76ers in that matchup. I think the 76ers are going to represent the NBA's Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. I love that team. They're so deep, just ridiculously deep. And it kind of hurts me as a Pistons fan to watch what's happening out in Philly right now because, you know, they're doing it with one of the players that I really loved when he was a Detroit Piston for a cup of coffee, that being Ersan Ilyasova. I mean, he is like that guts, that glue and guts type of player, right? That garbage man type of player who just does the little things. Love that. And then you have J.J. Redick, who can shoot the blood out the basketball. Then you combine that with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, who are both just so fun to watch. I mean, that team is just so deep. And then you got, you know, Saric, and then you got Covington, one of the deepest teams in the league. And I think Philly right now, I think the paradigm is trying to shift right now in favor of the Philadelphia 76ers to try and come out the East. You look at the West, you got, you know, the Houston Rockets. They won the NBA's Western Conference. Right now, Houston leads that series with the Minnesota Timberwolves 2-1. We will see the next game tonight. That's an intriguing series when it comes to a lot of different things. Minnesota actually won the last game in game 3, 121-105. I like the Rockets, don't get me wrong, and what they did throughout the regular season was remarkable. But again, it's the regular season. Different ball game in the NBA playoffs. They're too inconsistent for me. I still don't see the Houston Rockets win, which I think is going to be inevitable. It's going to come down to the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. I don't see the Rockets knocking off a healthy Golden State Warriors team. And it's been noted by Steve Kerr that Steph Curry still isn't ready, and he's going to hold him out again. He's probably going to miss some of the second round as well. Oklahoma City and the Utah Jazz. We saw over the weekend, that was a 115-102 victory in favor of Utah. Ricky Rubio with a triple-double, 26 points, 11 boards, 10 assists. It surprised me in that game because Russell Westbrook didn't, you know, he wasn't his true aggressive self. You know, the Russell Westbrook who says, look, just give me the basketball, everybody else get out the way. If we're going to lose, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to do everything in my power to put up a bunch of shots, hope that they go in, and we're going to go down kicking and screaming. Didn't see that from Russell Westbrook in that game. He was 5 of 17, just 14 points. Paul George actually led the team with 23. Carmelo Anthony with 14 in that game. I still think this team is still figuring things out as far as gelling with their version of the big three with George, Westbrook, and Anthony. I'm not big on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I just haven't seen any fluidity from a game-to-game basis with them. And Utah Jazz, watch out for them. They actually had all five starters in that game over the weekend scoring double digits. You know, I mentioned, Ricky Rubio with a triple-double. But Donovan Mitchell, it's a catch-22 watching the playoffs because Donovan Mitchell should be a Detroit Piston. He should be rocking the red, white, and royal blue. And we totally miffed on that and chose Luke Kennard, who is a decent rookie, but he is nowhere near the stratosphere of Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell had 22 points, 11 boards in that game as well. Rudy Gobert, he had 18. Favors had 11. Just a great all-around effort. That's going to be an intriguing series. Utah actually leads that series again. Now 2-1. And yesterday, we saw the Bucks come back to beat the Boston Celtics 104-102. Giannis Antetokounmpo, big moments. Big moments down the stretch of that game. That series is now tied 2-2. The San Antonio Spurs, as I noted, Manu Ginobili, 103-90 over the Golden State Warriors. That was a shocker because we all thought the Golden State was going to sweep a San Antonio Spurs team that is still without its best player in Kawhi Leonard, that is without its head coach in Greg Popovich due to the death of his wife, Erin. That team is still emotionally just trying to take it day by day, but what an inspired effort by the San Antonio Spurs yesterday. LaMarcus Aldridge also had 22 points, but Manu Ginobili was fantastic. 16 points, 5 assists, hit big buckets and big moments down the stretch of that game. A fun game to watch. Kevin Durant had 34 points himself, along with Klay Thompson, and also, Sean Livingston were the three players who scored in double figures there. We all believe, though, that the Golden State Warriors are going to close this thing out. in the next game there. The Washington Wizards, 106-98 over the Toronto Raptors. That series is tied. Toronto struggling. That's the thing about the East. You just never know. You never know that the East is certainly the weaker conference in comparison to the Western Conference. The NBA Eastern Conference leading team in the Toronto Raptors struggling against the Washington Wizards right now. That series tied. And then if there was any opportunity for the Indiana Pacers to possibly knock off LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, you had a series lead, a 2-1 series lead. You're at home in Indiana, Bankers Life Fieldhouse. You got the lead with just minutes left. The crowd is on your side, and you can't get the job done. Victor Oladipo did not shoot great yesterday. They gave up far too many 50-50 balls. That's just a tough loss, a four-point loss for the Indiana Pacers. You know, then we saw the Jeff Green and Lance Stevenson situation where I thought it was a jump ball. One ref called it jump ball, but the other ref called it a foul, which sent Green to the free throw line. A lot of controversy there. And when it was explained, if two refs call, you know, opposite calls of a jump ball and a foul, the foul takes precedence and that player will go to the free throw line and the foul is notched accordingly. So it was controversy down the stretch of that game. But Indiana, I thought it was, I agree with Charles Barkley. I thought it was a must win for the Indiana Pacers. And now things shift back to Cleveland with the series tied 2-2. I think Cleveland closes this thing out, winning the next two games. That's just my opinion. But it's just a fun NBA playoffs right now because, you know, the normal storylines of Golden State Warriors and Cleveland Cavaliers domination is kind of out the window right now, Ian. And we're starting to see, you know, some of these young and up-and-coming teams really put their stamp on the league. We're starting to see the future. The future is looking very bright for a few of these teams who have been pretty bad in recent years.
Yeah, we've heard about the process for some of these teams, specifically Philadelphia adopting that as their motto, trust the process.
Right.
And a lot of these teams, it's finally paying off for them. You know, they had some down years with the rebuilding that they were doing, and we're finally seeing the fruits of these front offices' labor. So it's good to see some competition finally in the NBA playoffs rather than Cleveland and Golden State just blowing through their competition on their way to the rematch in the NBA Finals.
I think it's great. I think the parity that we're seeing right now in the NBA is fantastic for the league. I'll elaborate more on the NBA playoffs in tomorrow's Current Sports. But before we go, I just want to give a brief tease. I got some strong thoughts when it comes to what I saw Adrian Broner say after this weekend's draw on Showtime Boxing. It was one of the most disgraceful post-fight interviews I've ever seen in my life. We'll talk that and so much more. We'll have a special guest in tomorrow's Current Sports as well. Find out who tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Be easy, people.